Hey, you, welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. Today, I am talking with my friend Gaya Shantaram, who is an intuitive artist for spiritual professional women who want to capture a moment in their timeline visually. Over the past year or so, she has taken a step back from her art business, one to manage her personal life, but also to manage a large transcontinental move and all the things that come with that. She is still selling some, putting herself out there some, painting some, but just at a more laid-back pace. On top of that, she's also an author who's marketing her books, so she's got a lot going on. But in my opinion, one of the things that's really holding her back, maybe even more than all of these other pieces of her life, is that she's questioning, why am I doing this? Am I really an artist? Is this a great use of my time? Do I even want to be doing this? And so in this conversation, that's what we dive deep into. We started off by defining what is an artist for her, because she was still creating work. So it wasn't just about the creation process. There was something deeper that was telling her, I don't know if I am that. Next, we took a step back and looked at her life as a bigger picture. Whether or not she was any specific label, what did she want to leave behind? What did she want people to remember her as? And then finally, with her guiding this part of the conversation, I helped her outline three changes that she wanted to make in her next year so that she could show up as her most authentic version of herself. And I don't want to spoil the answer of whether or not she came to understand herself as an artist. I'm going to let you listen for that part. But the end result is her having much more clarity around who she is and how she can take actions to show up in that way. So if you are someone maybe who's struggling with the question, am I an artist? Or what am I even doing this for? This is the episode for you. So with that, let's dive right in. Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. I'm here with my friend Gaya. Hi, Gaya. How are you? I'm good, so thanks. Glad that we are getting to do this because I haven't gotten to talk to you much.
Yes.
In a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with you and just seeing where I can kind of help you move forward a little bit.
Perfect.
So we were talking just a little bit before we hit record about kind of where you were at. You've kind of taken a step back in your business a little bit because of a transcontinental move and managing personal life and all of that. But you're still doing the things just on a minimal amount.
Yeah, correct.
Can you, one, tell me a little bit about that? And then two, you had also mentioned having a little bit of conflict in your creation process. So I'd like to talk about that as well.
Okay, so about the stepping back, right?
Let's start there.
It was just a lot of mental load to do what I was doing in, you know, in my personal space with the children and the house, and, you know, just getting them settled in school and, you know, the daily sort of mundane routine. And it kind of took a lot of my energy to do that. My elder one had a little trouble at school, and so I was dealing with that. And so it just ate up a lot of my mental space. It was at that point where I just couldn't think of anything else, to be honest. And so there were times, yes, I was doodling, I was painting to some extent to just, you know, keep the flow going on, but nothing that I wanted to show to anyone, put up on Instagram or any other social media platform. Nothing that I really wanted to share. It was just to keep my eyes and my hands sort of working and working together because my mind was just so busy. So it was almost like a sort of therapy that I was doing for myself, because if I didn't do it, I was really sort of spiraling out.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of in a better space. settling myself in, so to say, now, because, you know, everyone else is settled. Now it's my time. I get my time to settle. You know, we always think of ourselves last, especially when it concerns our children for some reason. I mean, everything from dealing with, I mean, not for me, but for my children, a new language, and, you know, everyone speaks French and they're not used to it. This already started when we were in Singapore, sort of struggle with my creative process. So I did a whole series on when I really started going into my spiritual practice and meditation and healing. And I did some work on myself. And I felt that almost that I went into art as a kind of I don't want to use the word escape, but a kind of like a safe space for myself. That's what came up with what I was, you know, going through at that time and sort of dealing with. I don't know if that consciously made me stop because I said, I'm well now. And why am I still doing this almost? There was a point earlier on where I was managing an art space or creative space in France, actually, at that point in time. This was almost 10 years ago. And I decided at that point that I'm not an artist anymore and that my role was to bring art of others into this world, which is also a great thing to do. But all through this time, I never stopped painting. I never stopped painting for myself, or, you know, I would get the odd order or commission and things would still kind of chug along very nicely. But then this sort of made me question all of that. And I'm like, you know, why am I an artist and what am I doing this for? And not only who am I doing this for, but almost like with what purpose am I doing this for? I'm still doing it, but I'm struggling with it. I can't exactly pinpoint and tell you why, because I think I still haven't found that sort of sweet spot as to exactly why am I doing this. Of course, I have people coming to me and sort of almost indirectly giving me a why, which is what we discussed earlier before we started recording. Yeah, I'm still sort of trying to come up with not a concrete, but a more tangible sort of answer.
Is it almost, this isn't quite the right word, but is it almost like, what is my motivation for
correct
being an artist?
Yes,
in the absolutely first place?
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely.
Do you right think if you solved that problem,
mm-hmm,
that the creation process conflict would be resolved?
I don't know if it'll be resolved, but I think at least I would sort of see a brighter light at the end of the tunnel. I would have somewhere to work sort of towards, I feel.
Right. Okay. So before you were sharing with me that the people who are coming to you to buy your work are people who are spiritual, they're professionals. Maybe they have their own business. Maybe they
correct
don't. They're usually women. They want to capture a moment in their timeline that your art gives that feeling of completion or satisfaction.
Exactly. Or, to make that kind of solidify for them. So, for example, recently someone in India bought a small piece, not a very big one at all, that size. And she sent me a message. It was really touching, which said, I have always wanted to invest in a work of art. We were in university together and we were never really like extremely good friends or anything like that, but we always sort of kept in touch through our lives trajectory. She told me, she said, you know, I'm starting my business. It's going well. I think she's in textiles and clothing, and I've gifted this almost like to myself to say, yeah, you did it. Someone else got out of a relationship that was just not serving her purpose anymore and, you know, picked up a piece. Things like that.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's without you doing or saying anything.
Correct.
That's what they are gleaning from your artwork.
Correct. Connecting to that. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes that outer motivation of I'm helping them can be enough. But it sounds like there's still a little bit of wishy-washy on your part of, why am I spending my time here? So can we explore that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. You told me at one point in time, you said, I'm not an artist anymore. I'm just going to bring art to the world.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that. Like, honestly, I have said that same thing to myself.
Yeah, sure.
I am currently working through my own mental block around that, because I am finding that I actually am still an artist. I just didn't realize it. And that's been kind of mind-blowing for me.
I can only imagine.
Oh, it's a roller coaster over here.
It is a roller coaster. Said this to my husband, I think when we had just moved here, and I said, you know, I'm really not an artist. I said, yeah, I paint, sure, and I enjoy doing it. And people like it sometimes. And it's rarely that, you know, even when someone sees a work of my art, it's generally my art is uplifting. People are like, yeah, it's fine, it's nice, it's colorful, no, you know, whatever. But rarely do I encounter, you know, really negative comments about my work, like, you know, really like averse to it. There's no extreme negative emotion, let's put it that way. And what he said, really, I've been kind of mulling over it now more than I did at that point in time, is that he said, you know, he's a guy, you know, maybe you're not, you know, very pragmatic husband of mine. And he said, but you know, he said, I don't think being an artist is the painting and the selling and the, you know, all of that. But he said, I think it's just a way of life. It's like how you see your life, how you lead your life, how you how you transmit what you want to your children. And it's, you know, at that time I said, oh, you know, whatever. And
You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. And I was just, I just wanted to say, yeah, Gaia, you know, maybe you should do something else. And I didn't hear what I wanted to get from him at the time. And I just didn't think much of it. But now, since dialed it down and I'm really, really, really slowing down, which is very, very hard for me to do. It goes against every kind of core emotion, action, whatever that I have in my being. Slowing down is like the worst thing for me. So I think it's a sort of like a learning curve. It's like life throwing me kind of like a curveball. So I think I'm just really going over that again and again and being very deliberate about how I react to things, what my perspective is on certain things, and, you know, trying to look at situations and things like that.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you said that to yourself, I am not an artist. Yeah. I am meant to do these other things.
Yeah.
At that point, how did you define being an artist? Because you said I'm still painting. So it's not just the creation. What defines an artist to previous Gaia?
Very good question. So there was a point where I really thought I was, and this is, you know, this was my way in life, and I was very dedicated. I was doing several shows a year. I was selling a lot of my work. I was completely immersed and dedicated into art. But when I say art, I mean the craft of art. Everything was about that, you know. I feel that I don't want to use the word motivation, because I'm still very motivated. But something has changed and I cannot pinpoint what that is. I don't know if it's time, is it constraints, is it different responsibilities, is it that I have different priorities maybe?
Yeah. So what I heard was, I am an artist if I am completely consumed by it. Mm-hmm. If it runs my life and my thoughts, correct, that is what makes me an artist. Otherwise, I am not.
Yeah, I think so. Because there was a point where I was working a day job, but, you know, I was just doing that to, you know, pay my bills when I was a student. And I was so dedicated. I was, I think, sending out, I don't know, 20 emails a day to different galleries. And I was making my portfolio and churning out work and stuff like that. Like, I think, like, making, I don't know, 10 paintings in a month, which to me was a lot.
Right. But now you are an author, you are a wife,
correct,
you are a mother, you are someone who has a household to run.
Correct.
You are all these other things as well. So those identities mean that you cannot be completely consumed by art in your thoughts and in your life and in your actions. And so, hence, I am not an artist.
Yeah. And hence, when all those worlds sort of kind of mesh up, you're kind of really trying to pull this one string out. And then I feel that everything else is kind of crunching into this little, you know, when you do that with a ball of yarn and everything else kind of scrunches up at the end.
So what if I'm going to give you a mindset switch and maybe it's going to resonate, maybe it's not.
Okay.
But what if the fact that you are an author, a mother, a wife, someone who's running a household makes you a better artist because it gives you more life experience to pull from, to say things about, to share with others.
Yeah.
And instead of making you less than, it makes you more. Does that land at all?
Yeah, it does. It makes perfect sense.
So if we're thinking about it that way, you're more of a complete being who is also an artist and also all these other things. But who is that complete being?
Mm-hmm.
And what does she want out of life, or to what mark does she want to leave? That was actually a question I want to know.
Oh, God. There's so many things that I want to do.
Let me do it a different way. Let's go a little bit morbid here and say you pass away next week. What would you want people to say about you?
I think that I touched a part of their lives in a way that made them feel seen and heard. And if that be through my actions or be through my work, that I was there to listen to them or to always had a listening ear. And that they liked that they liked the way, and I'm saying this because just as the, you know, just recently someone said that to me, that they liked the way I saw the world. And this is news to me because a friend of mine just told me this the other day. She said, you know, I always called you to get a perspective that I would have never thought of.
Okay. So what if, as an artist, as an author, as a mother, as a friend, your mission was to make people feel seen and heard and show them new perspectives? And that is the purpose of your art. It's also the purpose of your friendship. It's also the purpose of how you want to be as a mother. What does that do for you when you think about it that way?
Yeah, it sounds very wholesome. It sounds like how I would like to lead my life, and not only my life, but whatever it is that I am doing professionally or personally.
So if your new mantra was to help people feel seen and heard and show them new perspectives, how would that influence your creative practice, if anything?
Well, I think that would, first of all, maybe give me a kind of the confidence I need to just do the work. I think if I'm looking at it from someone else's perspective rather than from my own, like, why am I doing it rather than why, you know, what would this person need? Then, yeah, that might be probably a better source of motivation for me to actually put paint on canvas.
I want to take a quick pause right here because I have a resource that, if this is something that you have been struggling with, specifically, do I want to have an art business? I'm a big believer in not everyone who wants to be an artist should also have an art business. It takes a special kind of person to do both. So if this is something that you have questioned for yourself, I want to make sure that you grab this resource. It's a worksheet, very cleverly titled, Should I Have an Art Business? If you've questioned, is this something that I really want to do, should be doing? I'm going to encourage you to go grab this worksheet, set aside maybe 20 minutes to go through some of these questions to help you gain some clarity around, is this the thing for me? Is this where I should be spending my time? Is it worth it? Should I be doing something else with my life? Whether or not I define myself as an artist, should I have this art business? Okay, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Go grab it if that is something that you are struggling with, and we'll get back to it. I'm remembering something that I have no context for, and I am questioning if it's even correct, but were you a nurse at some point?
I always wanted to be one, but no.
You wanted to be a nurse.
Yeah, I wanted to take care of people. Yeah. I even contemplated just even recently saying that I would like to get into nursing school.
But that comes from that same place.
Yeah. Service.
Service is the thing that motivates you. You mentioned earlier that they get something out of it and that you love that, but that doesn't necessarily help you cement into why you're doing it.
Yeah.
But when the why you're doing it is to help them feel seen and heard, that seems to give you a little bit more, I want to. It's not about me. It's about them.
Yeah. It's like a boost almost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go with, that's your why. But even more specifically what I said, which was repeating your words, make them feel seen and heard and show them new perspectives. When we're thinking about that and that the artist is a piece of the whole, it doesn't have to completely consume our life and our thoughts. It's another avenue for me to execute my why. Would you change anything about how you are making art, presenting art, sharing art, selling art in the next year?
I think it would affect in a great way, because what I had initially, how I had initially worked to how I would like to work now would be that I was sort of chasing venues, chasing people. And what's happening now is, I don't know how, and I'm not doing much, but it's people who are coming to me, asking me, do you want to exhibit? Do you want to do this? Do you want to show your book somewhere? Or I had another friend of mine, not friend, I met her once, but someone who I've kept in touch with, an artist friend in Italy. And she just said, Gaia, I would like you to be a part of my show. I'm hosting the show. It's going to be a collaborative thing in Sweden and this and that. And, you know, it's not come from me, but it's just about what I think the correspondences that I have with these people, it's like goes back to the same thing, wanting them to feel seen and heard. And we have these very intense exchanges about life, a relationship, art, and how I was struggling, how she was struggling. And then she came back to me, a month or two later and said, do you want to do this? And, you know, it's about women, artists. And so it's just been things like that. And that's the most recent one, which is why that came to mind. But it's just been things like that. So it's more like almost, we spoke about this sometime back, manifesting. And, you know, it's almost like attracting this energy to you. It's almost like attracting these opportunities or people or whatever it is. I am not going out anymore.
Yeah. So on a really high level, people think about marketing and so many very concrete. It's Instagram. It's a newsletter. It's all these things. But what you have been doing is marketing, whether or not like you meant to or thought you were doing it, but you were putting that mission out so that people could see it, even if you hadn't defined it yet, which is what is drawing those opportunities to you.
Correct.
And probably partially a little bit of the work that you've done in the past as well has had some influence on it.
Exactly. And I think it's kind of like this. What's happening is that it's that foundation that sort of slowly layering up with.
Right. So right now you said, I'm selling about a painting a month. I'm doing it kind of willy-nilly here and there. If we were to define three concrete goals or actions or habits to help cement this idea,
okay,
of my art helping people feel seen and heard and showing them new perspectives, what would you assign yourself?
The concrete goals?
I hesitate to use the word goals because they don't have to be goals. They could be things I want to do more regularly.
Yeah.
They could be something I want to reach. They could be a way I want to be in the world. But moving into the next year, what are some things that you want to do a little bit differently so that you can show up even 10% more as an artist with this mission?
So maybe just genuine connection.
Mm-hmm. Define that for me. How could you make that a measurable or actionable goal?
It would mean that whenever I have a conversation, irrespective of face-to-face or digitally or otherwise, that I, well, not that I show genuine concern because I usually do, but to ask more precise questions, if that makes sense. More,
okay.
Like not just say, oh, how are you? But, you know, be more specific about how are you? Because I usually reach out to people and it's on this very, you know, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I love it.
About it, yeah.
If someone says, hi, how are you doing to me? I'm going to give them a pretty generic response. And it's nice that they reached out and said hi. And I appreciate that. But if someone said, hi, how are you doing? I have been thinking about that conversation we had about your daughter. Is she doing well?
Exactly.
That makes me feel seen and heard.
Yeah, exactly. And even something, it need not even be a question, but like, you know, maybe I had a conversation with someone and I know that they have like an important deadline or a meeting, and it suddenly popped in my mind saying, ah, it's tomorrow. And, you know, just say, hey, I remember you saying this was, it was important. Wish you luck for tomorrow. Something like that.
100%. That is such a good goal.
It need not even like a question to strike up a conversation, but just something more genuine to say, hey, I thought of you, or, you know, kind of.
Make their day.
Make their day, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's one. That's us showing up not in any one containerized version of our life, just as a whole.
Correct.
In our conversations, we're going to ask precise questions, remember details, etc.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have another one?
I want to say carve out some time so that I can do that for myself.
How?
Kind of carve out that time to, you know, to give myself a thumbs up. Say, hey, you've done it. Or, you know, give myself some weekly or monthly, or even if it is to sit in my studio for half an hour and not do anything, but just be there. And whatever comes out of that time, comes out of that time. Give myself a specific amount of time where I'm not doing things out of the house or my kids or my, that I do it for myself. And not just going out, you know, for a coffee or something with a friend, but to actually get in time to sit at a desk and carve out that time to make my day.
I love it. And I want to, of course, make it more specific.
Yes, please.
Give myself time in my studio for myself, mm-hmm. to make my day. Give me something specific, measurable, small, because you can always grow it. But I would rather you say 30 minutes a month and then do it, then 30 minutes a day and feel like a failure and quit.
So maybe say 30 minutes a week. That I think I could do. Like even if I spread it over 10 minutes, three times a week, or, you know, if it's one slot of 30 minutes in one day, or if it's, you know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes another day, but do that, yeah.
How are you going to hold yourself accountable to that 30 minutes a week?
I don't know.
Okay. So when you have cookies to make for your kid's school or something like that, how do you make sure that gets done?
I put it in my to-do, my calendar.
Your calendar? You block out that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we block that time out?
Yeah, absolutely. Like a meeting with myself.
Exactly. And I will be honest, and I will say I have done that. I have marked out time in my calendar for myself, and it's real hard.
It is.
Do not push it. So I want you to have a conversation with your husband and say, I need you to make sure I am doing this. 30 minutes every Monday morning. This mm-hmm. has to be my priority in order to make time for myself, to make my own day, to make myself feel seen and heard so that I can give back. This is what I need, and I need you to make sure I'm doing it.
Yeah. Kind of like accountability.
Yes. Okay, so I said three.
We're on two. It's already good.
We're on two. Can we name one more? Actually, you know what? Let's stick with two. Because two is pretty doable. Those are two goals that you can keep in mind that you can actually execute. And I want you to grow the confidence and faith in yourself that you can do those two things.
Yeah.
And I want you to take some time. This is number three, which is not a habit. It's just a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. To think about in 2024, if I were to show up more as an artist, not as solely an artist, but if I were to give that piece of myself a little bit more space, what would I want? After you do that, you may have a third that you need to add in there.
Yeah, I want to set up a concern, not just for my art, but around art, creative thinking, education, writing, books.
Do you have any idea what that looks like yet? Or is it just a kind of a amorphous blob?
No, I do. I mean, it's like almost having a creative space where I could do these varied activities.
Online, in person?
In person would be ideal.
Okay.
In person would be ideal. I would like to start it in person, and then if at all it kind of develops online, that would be great. But I think in all the things that I have done, professional activities that I've done, I've realized that it works best for me in person.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried online, but I don't know. That's what comes to me instinctively.
You know, we've worked together in the past. That relationship marketing and that content marketing kind of go hand in hand. And you can use one to help the other.
Correct.
And I also know that you are very much an in-person kind of person.
Correct.
I'm going to give you one more and you edit it for yourself.
Okay.
I would like you to pick a day a month.
Mm-hmm.
Where paid, free, just a fun get together, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You do some version of that vision, whether it's a writing workshop or let's all paint together or whatever that looks like for you,
mm-hmm.
and you can play with it. This is maybe give yourself 3, 6, 12 months to just play with the idea to feel like I am moving toward it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
But this is something I want to bring to reality at some point, and I don't want to put it off forever until I have the time. I want to start with my toe in the water.
Correct. No, that's a great idea, because initially I said I wanted to develop, what do you call it, like a publishing house and, you know, start with my own books and then sort of look for new talent and new storylines mm-hmm. and all of that. But I said, that can't be the focal point of what I want to do. The focal point is this, to be, you know, seen and heard, and people who come also for a change in perspective. In all of this, I did a few counseling courses because I really wanted to be able to, going along with your nursing idea, I did, you know, because I said at least I can do this online. And it really sat well with me. It really, really sat well with me. Basically wanting to create this sort of like a kind of a cocoon, like a safe space for children and women and whoever actually wants to come in and share.
It's a tool that you have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To supplement your mission.
Correct.
I'm enjoying this conversation because I am also trying to say I don't have to label myself one way. I don't have to just be an artist or a counselor or a nurse or a mother or a this or a that.
It's hard.
I can be all of the things when I put them together in a way that fulfills that core need that I have.
And it could be different at different times. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. The balance will shift. And that's okay. Well, this was fun. Gaia, tell people where they can find you.
For the moment, on Instagram is Gaia Cosmic.
Cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Your voice kind of trailed off, so I just wanted
to say. Yeah, Gaia
Cosmic.
Correct.
G-A-Y-A Cosmic.
Correct.
Great. And are you open to people messaging you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, always. Always. And my email is the same, GaiaCosmic@gmail.com. So, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I have a feeling that someone's going to resonate with what you said and need somebody to talk to.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, thank you again.
No, thank you.
This is one of those episodes. It's a little bit more floofy, but I think that this is some of the most important work, even more than exactly defining what our marketing strategy looks like or whatever. It's that deeper stuff that influences all the other things that we do. So I really was grateful to you for being willing to talk about it.
No, it's all of this is going on inside my mind. So it was really nice to also hear myself speak about it and not just be mulling over it and overthinking and actually verbalizing it. And that also sort of helps the process. So anyone who is sort of struggling, it's a great way to untangle all those little knots.
For some people, that's speaking it out loud. For others, it's writing. For some, it's painting it out. Whatever avenue works for you to help untangle that, go do it.
Exactly.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Yes.
Bye, Gaia. Thanks again for hanging out with me today in this episode. I hope that you gained a lot of clarity and value from it. If you did, I would be so grateful if you would leave a rating or a review or subscribe, whichever feels right for you. And I want to remind you one more time, if you're not sure if having an art business is right for you, go into the show notes, grab the Should I Have an Art Business worksheet, take a few minutes to work through it, and shoot me a note over on Instagram. Let me know how it went for you. And with that, this week is a wrap, and I will see you next week.